Someone has said when you're dealing with children that one way to deal with them is to put them in a barrel and nail the lid on it, drill a hole in it, poke food through that hole. And when they get 16 years old, get a peg and drive it in the hole. Maybe we ought to drive a peg in the hole a little earlier. I don't know. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. Like arrows in the quiver of a mighty warrior. And the Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. I think that we have to, in this society in which you and I are living in, it takes all of us to raise the kids here at church. So it's not just the parents' responsibility, it's all of our responsibilities to give them a good Osage Baptist Church raising and correct them when they need it, love on them when they need it. But it's all of our responsibilities. In the book of James, the Bible gives the church a stern warning about what its responsibility is. And it tells us that one of our greatest responsibilities is to take care of the widows and the orphans. And the Lord has not changed His mind about that. That's still our responsibility as Christians. Now, we can turn a blind eye to it and say it's someone else's job. But when it comes down to the grind, it's my job and your job to see that they're cared for. On any given day in the state of Arkansas, there are 3,000 foster children that have been taken out of their home. 1,500 of those have a place to go, a home to go to, some home to go to, either a foster home or to a grandmother or to an aunt or an uncle. 1,500 of them have some place to go. 1,500 of them do not have a place to go. And I believe that we need to open our eyes to that need as a church. I was visiting with a fellow yesterday. Actually, he's my son-in-law's dad. And he came and sat down beside me, and he was asking about the baby that we have. And I explained that she's a foster child. She came to us 2 days old. And he said, I was in foster care when I was 6 years old. He said, my mother died. We lived in California. My dad moved us to Chicago. There were seven in my family. I was one of seven siblings. He stopped in front of some steps and asked us to get out and wait on those steps, that he was going to the store and he'd be back in a little while. And he never returned. He said, I moved in with the Joneses when I was 12. And he said, so that's the reason I'm a Jones. I was adopted by the Joneses. And I listened to that story and I thought that's horrific. That's tragic. That's awful that our society is filled with people who have that kind of attitude. Several thousand in the state of Arkansas who have that attitude. The drug culture has created a worse problem for us. And so many of those foster children are taken out of the home because of the need of because they're being neglected because of drugs. Many of our school systems are sending backpacks home with children on Fridays and packing those backpacks with food so those children will have something to eat over the weekend until they get back to school. The school's taking on that responsibility. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful that they're doing that. But our society is filled with orphans. And it becomes your responsibility and my responsibility for us to do what we are supposed to do as Christians, what God has called us to do. Sarah Fisk is going to, she's proposed a help method that she's going to be presenting at the business meeting tonight and how we can help the call and also help some of the foster parents that are taking in children. The Hammond family has opened their home up and they're taking in foster kids now, and that's going to make a difference. I thought it was very strange that God would call on us to when we had folks from the call to come here and give the presentation of the need, and how strange it was that God would call Gwen and I to sign up to help. And we expected it to be on a very short-term basis, a little while at a time, a day at a time, or a week at a time at the very most. And now we've had Noah almost 4 months. We had TJ for about 3 months. We've had the baby for a month now. She's a month old. She is 2 days old when she was brought to us, and she's a month old now. And I wonder what God, why God would take a couple of old people and put them in any such ministry as this. And I think I know why. Now listen very closely, I'm going to tell you why. If we can do it, anybody can do it. If we can do it, anybody can do it. Now, not every person is called to that ministry, and I understand that. Not every person is called, and so there are folks that can't do it. You may think, well, you can't, or you wouldn't be able to do it, and I didn't think we could do it, and I came along kicking and screaming and saying that we couldn't do it, we can't do it. But when they bring a little baby to your house and set it down in the living room floor and say, here she is, you can't say, take her away, go do something else with her, take her to somebody else. You just can't do it. So I want to, I believe that everyone will have a different job. But I absolutely believe that God means for us to be involved in this job. And I think Osage Baptist Church is to be involved in it in some way or the other. And it may not be for you to take kids into your home. That's Absolutely. Some of you think that'd just scare me teetotally to death. And, you know, I get up during the night and look in her crib, make sure she's still breathing. It scares us to death. Revival is messy, and it's hard. Revival is difficult. It's very hard sometimes. But the kingdom of God will not be built with slackers and resistors and folks that shirk their responsibility. Revival will not come in our lives if we take that attitude and hang on to that attitude all the rest of our life. You've been tremendous as a church to help us out. I've told several folks that it's all of our responsibility. Everybody's working together, and you've helped us tremendously. You've picked up a lot of slack, and we really do appreciate that. And it really does help when you do that. I didn't plan on saying that, but these kids are broken. They're broken. When they come to us, their lives have been shattered. All their hopes and dreams have been shattered. They've been pulled away from the only thing that they know of is home, even though it might be awful. And they're going to act broken. And there's nothing you can do about it. Pray for them. Try to correct them when you can. And give them a way to go. Gwen. Jude said that He had a plan when he wrote the letter to the church. By the way, the book of Jude's easy to find. It's right before you get to Revelation. And it's a little bitty book. And so you'll have to search for it a little bit maybe, because it'll get caught in between 3 John and Revelation. You'll have to peel it back. It's just one chapter long. But Jude said, I had a plan to write to you about a certain, what I was going to do. But he said, God has changed my mind, and I'm going to write to you about something else that I feel like that is more urgent. And so he begins this list of what is more urgent. He begins to talk about the danger within the church of false teaching that creeps in. And we live in a society that is so bent on pleasure, so bent on life being easy, that we forget that there's people all over the world that are dying by the hundreds and thousands for the gospel. And we in America are like the guy said when he talked about us Christians in America. He said that they were being persecuted. And he said, we're handling our persecution a lot better than you're handling your prosperity. So we are a people, we live in a prosperous nation of prosperous Christians. And we live in a place of danger because of what is going on. Now, what I want to do today, I'm not going to charge you for all this that I've said up to this point. But I expect to get paid real good for the last part of this. I want to just introduce Jude to you because it's such a fantastic letter. And it is so prevalent to the time. It just fits in the time that you and I are living in. Easy believism, easy Christianity, health, wealth, prosperity for the Christian. There's no place the Bible teaches that, by the way. And I don't believe it. I've been around long enough to discover that those that are having the worst time are usually those that are making the best Christians. And I'm not going to say, Lord, put it on me. I don't want it. I don't want a rough time. But I want us to look at this. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to finish up my time here with this introduction. And then we're going to have a baptism service. Jordan's going to be baptized. I'm going to give an invitation at the end of this introduction. And Jordan's going to go back to get ready to be baptized. And I want to give an invitation for folks to become Christians. I want to give an invitation for folks to join the church. And an invitation for folks who are saved and yet they've not been baptized yet to make that decision today. Now, we won't baptize you today, but we'll make plans to do that. I've been preaching about the race, and I've been inviting folks to join the race, and that's what I'm going to ask you to do today is join the race in the Christian life and for you to become a part of that and by throwing in among us and saying, I've decided I want to go to work for the Lord. I want to do what God's called me to do. Real easy for us to waste time and is there somebody out in the foyer? Someone needs to go and make sure those folks feel welcome and is there someone out there, Todd? Okay, great. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace, love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, this introduction, in verse 1, so this is not going to match your outline. You'll get that next Sunday. Who the letter is from and who it is to. Do you know who Jude is? And this is not in my notes for next Sunday, but do you know who Jude is? When you open that 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude and Revelation, do you know who Jude is? Well, he says that he's the brother of James. So you have to know who James is. So who's James? James, the brother of our Lord Jesus. He doesn't announce himself as the brother of Jesus, but he's one of the brothers of Jesus. And who is he writing it to? He says, the called and the kept. I really like that term. When he sends this out to the called and to the kept. Well, who are the called? That's you and that's me. That's everyone. Whosoever will, let him come to the Lord. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Whoever will can be saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Of any man, whosoever, if any man will hear my voice and open the door unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. It's a whosoever call. Whoever will, whoever will. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the called and the kept here. In verse 3, he talks about a common salvation. Now, I'm going to deal with that a little more next Sunday. But here he says, the common. I'm writing to you about the common salvation. So there's not one salvation for the rich and another for the poor. Not one for the African and another for the American. It's a common salvation. It is the same. Folks, are you hearing me today? Everybody gets saved the same way. Their reaction or their feelings may be the same, but I'm telling you, there's not anyone who gets saved outside of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. There's only one common salvation. And if you're not saved, if you're saved some other way, you're not saved. If you're saved because you've got your own little thing going, somebody's going to have to go help her because she's got to help me get my stuff on. That's the fun part about getting older. Your wife gets to help you put you. Waiters on. Put your britches on. I can still get my britches on. It's them waiters that I have trouble with. A common salvation. And then he tells us in this chapter to contend for the faith. And he says, once for all, delivered to the saints. Contend for the faith. So it's, this is in my notes for next Sunday, but it's a wrestling match. It's a contest. Like a race. Contending here. Taking a stand and staying with it. Standing for the truth. Standing for what the Bible teaches. Standing for the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, and not allowing it to be clouded up, not allowing it to be fogged up. I hear what some people say that they believe, and I'm thinking, you got that out of the Bible? What do you do with this passage here? And what do you do with this passage over here? And someone will say, well, we'll just agree to disagree. I've had that said to me several times. We'll just agree to disagree. And I want to say, well, you knucklehead, why don't you just read your Bible? Just read the Bible. It explains it. I use commentaries all the time. But they're not the inspired, infallible Word of God. This is it. There's not another. I We're out of the teaching, I hope, we're out of the teaching people to drive stage. But we've gone through this with our grandkids, and I've told them over and over, get that book and study that book, and you'll be able to take the test. No, they're so smart, they don't need to study the book. They don't need to look at the book. One of our grandkids had failed it. That's not a big deal. That's a lot of them too. And I called him and I said, you bring your book and come to my house. He did. That thing is thick. I started reading it out loud to him and explaining it as we went along. We're sitting in the living room. He's sitting on the couch over here and I'm sitting on a chair over here, and he was going, I said, when you drive upon a good-looking blonde riding a bicycle down the side of the road, do not sound your horn. Cassie's sitting in the middle of the floor doing something. She whirled around and looked at me and said, does that book really say that? And I said, no, it don't say that. And I threw the book at him and said, and I'm not going to read it anymore if you're not going to listen. That book was important to passing the test. This book, there's not another. There is no comparison. This book is what you and I must build our lives on. It's the Word of God. Once for all delivered to the saints. And then he gives, through this chapter, he gives example after example of those who did not follow the truth and how their lives failed. He talks about the fallen angels. He gives Enoch, Korah, and Balaam. He gives all kinds of examples of those that did not follow the example. The Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodomites, or the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that these people gave themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, the Bible calls it. Paul makes no apology of God's judgment against the homosexual lifestyle in Romans 1. And if I don't read anything else, I want us to read that. Romans 1, verse 24. And the Bible says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And a church or an individual who says that this lifestyle is okay does not know what the Bible teaches. And they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And the devil has whispered in their ear and said, this is the easy way out. Take the easy way out. Because you know Aunt Martha that's got all that money that's making that contribution to the church every year, her grandson is in that lifestyle. And we don't want to say anything that would offend Aunt Martha and she might stop giving the church money. So let's just kind of ease over that and say it's just a matter of choice. And let's not say anything about the homosexual lifestyle inside the church. And they've exchanged the truth of God into a lie. Whenever preachers and pastors and godly Sunday school teachers and parents should have took a strong stand against that lifestyle and said the truth, it's the truth of it, high lips the governor, I'm going to stand with it. And so because of that, young people who have gotten pressure inside the school and inside the college and watch this ignorant television set that promotes it day after day after day have said it's okay. Well, it's not okay. It's sin, and it's an abomination against the Lord and against Christianity. Amen, church. And so he says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he gives a big long list of the ungodliness of that lifestyle. If you're not a member of Osage Baptist Church, you need to go ask your pastor how he stands on the homosexual lifestyle. And then, if he tries to wiggle his way out of that, ask him what he thinks about the abortion issue. And if he's off on those two issues, he's off. If he's off on those two issues, he's off. And anyone that you listen to on the TV or anyone that you listen to on the radio, if they're off on those two issues, they are off. And the Bible says, cease, my son, to hear instruction that causes you to err. And what has happened in our society, we've got a lot of young people that have grown up in the society and their parents have allowed them to listen to a word that has caused them to err because it's everywhere. And the parents didn't say, this is ungodly, this is wrong. Let me take you to the Word of God. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and let's talk about this. Let's see what God did to the Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's open up the Word of God and see what God says about it. It doesn't matter what the fifth grade teacher thinks about it. It doesn't matter what the college professor thinks about it. It doesn't matter what the TV promotes about it. It is what the Word of God says about it. That's what makes it right or wrong. And it's wrong and it's dead wrong. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And it brings about death in the life of the individuals who are taking part in that. And it not only kills them, it kills society. I'm through. Let's stand together. Jordan, go get ready to be baptized. All right, we got a volunteer. Thank you, Tony. Gosh, isn't God good? Isn't God good? I meant for that introduction to be about 10 minutes long, and then I was going to preach my sermon. So I get to put in overtime next Sunday. Boy, the Lord is so good, folks. God is so good.
I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, would you be saved today? How you do that, Brother Lanny? Ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Is that simple? That's simple. Are you saved and you hadn't been scripturally baptized yet? Would you do that? Would you make that decision today? If you've been saved and you've been scripturally baptized, would you decide today to become a part of this fellowship? If God's leading you, if God's not leading you, God's not pulling you here, you don't need to be here. Go somewhere where you can throw in with them and go to work for the Lord, changing lives for the kingdom, taking as many people with us as we possibly can. So as we sing, you come. As we sing, you come right now.
Jesus.